Well, throughout your anniversary celebration, your promo, your logo, you've used the scriptural anchor of Hebrews chapter 12 and the imagery of the race and the great cloud of witnesses. So I think we have or will have or might have. If not, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 12. That'd be great if you do that. It's a passage that does utilize the idea of the race. And if you're familiar, there it is. If you're familiar, of course, that in the New Testament, oftentimes the Apostle Paul would use athletic metaphors. And it usually was a race. Sometimes it was boxing or things like that. But a lot of times it was the race and the idea of the race and staying in. So this would be one of those passages that the New Testament writers would use, the image. And you think about in track and field. Think about racing in track and field. There are a lot of different types of races, long races, medium races, medium long, and from my perspective, they're all just too long. But that's just me. The Bible talked about races, so I got to talk about it today. But think about it. In track and field, there are lots of races, but really there are two categories of races. There are individual races, and then there are relay races, right? Isn't that true? Some races are individual races. And it's about the individual training hard and having a goal. And that's fine. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But the relay race is different. It also has focus. It has a goal. It takes training. But it is dependent on all those who are on the team to run the race. I would suggest to you today that this passage of Scripture today is about the relay race. And the imagery is about those who have run the first part of the race, and then asks the question of those of us who are perhaps now at this point in the race. Let's hear this scripture. If you have it, follow along. I'll read it for us. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God bless the reading, the hearing, more importantly, the doing of his word, as recorded in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And so this morning, briefly, let's just keep thinking about this race idea. And very simply, I would suggest to you, as we think about the race metaphor, and let's not think about the individual race, but let's think about it this morning as a relay race. It's very clearly that, isn't it? And I would suggest very simply that as we think about this, that we think about the fact that there is a race that we have to call our race. It's not their race, theirs as in before us, or theirs who will come after us. Today, it's about our race. We're the ones that are here. This is the generation of the church that now exists. We thank God for those who came before. I love what the video said, if the Lord should tarry. And if the Lord tarries, we're grateful for those whom he will gift, call, and set forth. But today, we're not talking about them or them so much as those of us who today must call this our race. One thing that struck me in this text when I read it again, I'm talking to the pastor a couple weeks ago, and he was saying that, you know, this is the passage that had been the anchor text. And so I read it in a few different translations, and I had the translation from the New American Standard Bible for the screen because it includes a word that I think is very important. And this is not a lecture or anything on Bible translations, but the fact is that some translations leave out a word that I think is super important, and that's the word also. Let us also. And I think the NIV says, let us run. And so, again, I'm not, it's not an argument for one translation or the other. But the fact is, as it was first written in its language, the word also is there. And it's actually very prominent. It stuck out to me. And the reason that I raised this for us is that it's not someone else's race. So the word is us also. Let us also. That means someone else has been running, and we are now included in that. And so it's not someone else's race, it's our race. We're called to it. So it's an us also race. The race, and then the other phrase in the text says, it talks about the race that is set before us. So let me read that phrase. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also, and then it says a few things. I'm going to come back to that. It talks about the race, and run with endurance the race that is set before us. All right, so very clear in the text. It's a us also, and there's a race set before us. So if you hadn't thought about that, I just want to just kind of wake up now. I know we're about 45 minutes into it. Lunch is not ready yet. I already checked, you know, or else I'd be talking a whole lot faster than I am right now, and I'm talking pretty fast right now, all right? But if you hadn't thought about it, to this opportunity, this big celebration, and praise God for that, is an opportunity to be reminded the race is still on. The race is still on. You know, when the race started, in the race, in the relay race, in all races, it always starts with the starter's gun or the starter saying go, right? So on your mark, is set, go, and then the race starts. When did the race start? You know when it started? It's recorded in Scripture. Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, boom, go, race is on. That's when it started. And so that's when the race started, and it continues today. We're here today to thank God for those who faithfully understood it was their race. And for us, I hope to say, wow, it's our race now. And the cloud of witnesses is part of our motivation, but it's our race. And the race continues. It started with the go, therefore. And the person with all authority on heaven and earth said, start the race now. That was Jesus. All right? And the race is still going. So the race is not over. I love one the fact that you're celebrating your anniversary. The best way to celebrate things like this in churches is to thank God for all the faithful ministry and people of the past. And I really think you should do that. I think churches make a mistake if they minimize the faithfulness and the victories and the glory of the past. That's just wrong. You shouldn't neglect that. And so I think that you have done that, and that's good. But it's not about just that. And so what you've done is we're celebrating the past and anticipating the future. And so it's our race. And until Christ returns, the race continues. And so the question then is, well, what is the race? I mean, if someone said, okay, you're in a race, what are you supposed to do? I mean, obviously run, but what does running the race look like as a church? Well, quite simply, when Jesus said, boom, the race is on, what did he say? Go make disciples. So the race is really about going to make disciples. But more specifically, I thought I would just, you know, poke around on your website and the things that you say and just kind of just see, you know, what you say, what you talk about as your part of the race. It's got to be some variation of going to make disciples, because that's the race that Jesus is in charge of and sent you on. So it's got to be some variation of that. And always a vision race check for any congregation is to regularly come back and ask themselves, are we running the race? Are we focusing for the one thing that Jesus clearly said the church should do, which is go make disciples? And so just to regularly come back to that. Here's the cool thing about the church, the way Jesus set it up. That going to make disciples looks different in all the different contexts of his local congregation. It looks different here in your community, having been at it 100 years, than it looks for a congregation in another community who just started with a different demographic and so on and so on. In fact, we're talking about your family of churches, Transformation Ministries. One of the great celebrations of our association is that this week we're here celebrating with you over God's faithfulness and your faithfulness for 100 years. Last week, one of our newest churches launched in downtown Philadelphia called the Block Church. Joey Ferjanik, the pastor, and they prayed and they prayed and they launched. They didn't even have enough room for the people. People were standing, 400 people crammed into a rented banquet hall in downtown Philadelphia, and then they had a block party outside and 600 more people came on the first day of a brand new baby church. And so think about what a cool and wonderful thing it is for me, from my perspective. It's one of the blessings that I get to do in my ministry is to celebrate a brand new church that's just picking up the baton to run the race. And then a week later, come here and thank God for a church that has been running faithfully for generations. But it's still the same race. It just looks different in where you are. And so if I were to have to answer this question, and, you know, by the way, having been with you this morning and met some of you and wandered around campus acting like I was lost to see who would say hello and stuff like that, this is what I do. Just want you to know that, okay? You passed the test. I want you to know that. So that's good. All right. But, and then being with you in worship and the baptisms, the worship, the focus, the spoke, I would agree with what you have written. And you may not know this word for word, but according to your website, it says that your mission is our God-given assignment, all right? And that's what you call your mission, to introduce people to Jesus and bring them into a community of believers who help each other become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now, you cut that down to a phrase in your worship folder because no one can remember that. It says becoming fully devoted followers of Christ. And that works. That works for me. And so I would say that's a pretty good way to express the one mission of the church of making disciples. But then you got to ask yourself, okay, what type of race is it? What does it look like for you as you've tried to grasp making disciples in your context and for this time? And so you go on to explain it this way. It says we fulfill that mission to make disciples when we, and I love this, when we continuously, not just once in a while, not just once a month, but every meeting, every thought, every strategic plan, every worship service, every class, every ministry, continuously. When we continuously, that kind of sounds like someone running a race, doesn't it? It does to me. When we continuously share the good news of Christ with others, model Christ in aspects of life, in all aspects of life, engage in loving relationships with others and other believers, surrender our lives joyfully to God, and serve God and others with our abilities and resources. So if I were to answer the question here, if you were to answer the question, I would suggest that you've done a pretty good job of putting some meat on the bones of what your race looks like. Now, and that's going to look different in another church, in another community, but it's the same race, your call, because it's your leg of the race, friends, is to be faithful to that call to make disciples. And that's the way you've expressed it. Now, it's, you know, what I would just simply say, it's your responsibility, it's the responsibility of your spiritual leaders whom God has called and gifted to continually ask God, are we on point here? Are we on the track here? Are we in the lane we're supposed to be? That's where we need to continue to ask God. But as far as I can see, you know, you are articulating your race very well. So it's not someone else's race; it's our race. Let me get down here just so it's I'm you today. It's our race. It's not someone else's race, and that's the great thing about this. And some people, you're uncomfortable with that because they want it to be somebody else's race, not my race, but somebody else's race. You don't get off the hook. It's your race. All right, so that's the first thing. Second thing, what is our motivation in this race? If the race has started with the Go Make Disciples proclamation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so the race is on, what's our motivation to keep going? Well, one, again, going back to the text, it says, therefore, since, and then let us lay aside. I don't know about you, but when I read Scripture, I ask the Lord, Lord, you know, help me understand this. Throw the words out at me that help me get what's going on. And so since something happened, we're supposed to do something else. Or since something is true, we're called to do something else. Are you catching me here? Because I can say it again because lunch still isn't ready. All right? Since we have such a great cloud of witnesses around us, that's a motivation for us. Since an anniversary like this is a great opportunity for that, right? I mean, you know, part of this DVD, and I know you showed the longer one yesterday, and I walked through the historical room over there and looked at some of the pictures and things like that, and the church bus that looks like a 1955 police cruiser. I like that. That's good. That's style right there is what that is. Or 54. Whose is it? It's 54, 50, 56? I knew it wasn't 57 because the fins are too short. Okay. All right. Anyway, motivation, not 56 police car. Motivation is that there have been those who have run the race already when they were holding the baton and have given it to us. right? That's the great cloud of witnesses. Now, I got to tell you, I struggled with this phrase for a couple weeks to the point where I started asking other people, friends of mine and pastors, like, well, what do you think about this whole great cloud of witnesses thing? I mean, is it like we're running a race in this huge arena and we're surrounded by all these, and by the way, all these witnesses in context are Bible heroes, right? The chapter before just lists all these amazing people of the Bible who did, we think, incredible things. And so, because they did all those things, is it like they're in the stands and we come into the stadium and they're all in the stands, you know, watching us? I don't know about you. That just freaks me out a little bit. Are you, any golfers in the room? Golfers? Please, one or two, because I'm going to use a golfing illustration. Thank you. All right, Pebble Beach. You know what Pebble Beach is, right? Pebble Beach, beautiful, difficult. Unless you have a friend or $1 million, you're not going to golf there. All right. Well, I have a friend, not $1 million. And so I went to Pebble Beach with my friend, and I made the mistake before we teed off of going to the tee box. Because the tee box at Pebble Beach is a public. You can go. It's by the clubhouse. So you can go down, and there are people that travel from all over the world to come to Pebble Beach to check it out. And they all stand around the first tee. Well, I'm standing in the crowd, and I'm listening to what they say as they watch people tee off. You see where I'm going here? And then I'm like, oh, man, in about an hour, I'm going to be on the tee box, and they're going to be saying that stuff about me. And so the idea of a whole bunch of people standing around who were a lot better than me talking about me, it wasn't working for me. And so I thought, oh, man, a great cloud of witnesses. I'm not like any of those Bible heroes. And so I thought, oh, Lord, is that what you're talking about? Well, then and someone said to me, no, you're thinking about it in a wrong way. You're thinking about it as if they're in the stands and thinking that they've done such a better job than you. That's not what they're doing. They're in the stands saying, thank God that you are now running the race. Run hard. And they're cheering and clapping. I'm so glad that you're one of those churches that claps. And I hope I wasn't the only one whistling during the baptisms. Because I was whistling. I just decided, take it or leave it. I'm whistling when we do baptisms, all right? But I'm glad you're one of those churches that feels free to clap and call out and thank God, because it's such a wonderful, joyous thing. And so what if the cloud of witnesses are not there to judge, but there to encourage? You see? And so then I thought differently. One of our children, our youngest daughter, ran cross country. And again, like I said about races, why anyone would do it, I have no idea. But she was on the cross country team, and I noticed that one of the great strategies to encourage her to keep going on was to place yourself strategically somewhere on the course, so that as she was coming around, on the course, our idea was just let her see us and we'll say her name. Her name is Lydia. We go, Lydia, go, Lydia, go, go, and realize. And we saw it in her eyes, in her face, in her body. It was just knowing that someone was there to encourage her made all the difference. And so I'm suggesting that one of our great motivations is that those who have gone before us do not stand in judgment of us, but they stand as encouragers. They're the cheering section. They're the ones that are saying, thank you, because when we had to hand our baton off, you took the baton and you ran the race. And they're strategically placed there. And so this idea of witnesses is encouragers, but also what great examples they have been to us. That's another way to look at this great cloud of witnesses, to look back and see what great examples of people that were faithful, that sacrificed. You know, when you do a thing like this, there were generations of people who sacrificed and gave money and built buildings and did all sorts of things to make today possible. That's a great testimony. That's a great witness for those of us who are now running the race. So our motivation is that. But even more so than that, suppose that that's okay, but you're still like, yeah, but, they're in heaven. They're probably not even watching us anymore and all that. The ultimate thing is this. Our ultimate motivation is Jesus Christ himself. You know, if you look at the text here, the last part of verse 2, it talks about Jesus, and it talks about how Jesus is both the author and perfecter of faith. It was Jesus who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. And listen, here it is. And sat down at the right hand of the glory at the throne of God. Who's not running the race this morning? Jesus is not running. He's the only one sitting down because he's the only one who is finished. And so ultimately, our motivation can be the faithful witness of those who've gone before, but to realize that Christ has gone before us and made our race possible. And that in itself becomes a motivation. And not just Jesus, but the gospel itself. One of the amazing things about the witness of these Bible heroes, that the list of Bible heroes that Hebrews talks about, is that they were that faithful. They ran the race with that much faith and endurance without clearly understanding the promise of God in the gospel. You hear what I just said? They only knew that God asked them to serve him, and they did. The writer of Hebrews reminds us, we look back and we understand they finished the race without ever seeing exactly what it was for. That's not true of me. I'm in the race, and I know why I'm in the race. Because of the completed work of Jesus Christ, who sits at the throne of glory today. And I know that our part of the race is to share the gospel of good news. That is our motivation. So it's our race. We have motivation. Third thing, what about the strategy? What's the strategy for the race that God has called us into? Again, I think the text is very straightforward. The first thing is this: if you're going to run your race and run it well, you got to lay some things aside. It just says, the text says to lay aside anything that is an encumbrance and the sin which might entangle you. And I don't, I'm not here. The pastor gave me a long list of things he wanted me to tell you to change and stop doing, but I just don't have time today, so pick it up next week. That's okay. But you and I both know, if you're serious about being in a race or a project, there's some stuff you can't drag along with you if you're really going to run that race, right? Now, in churches, oftentimes it might be, some tradition or some history or something like that. I'm sure this church is not like that. There are some churches that are like that.